If you have your Bible with you tonight, we're turning to the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1. Again, could I say it's a privilege to be here. We do welcome you all in the Saviour's name, especially if you're here for the first time in the mission. We thank you for coming and we pray that you'll be back again to join with us in the gospel mission. Now, there's just one text of Scripture, and it's a very familiar text of Scripture to God's people. It's verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 1. And it's the text that I want to draw your attention to this evening. And if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, born again of the Spirit of God, I want you to listen very carefully to the message this evening. Because I believe it's a message for you. It's a very simple message. I pray that the Lord will write it upon your heart. And I pray indeed that the Lord, through this text of Scripture tonight and through the message, will bring you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, your greatest need tonight is to be saved, to be born again of the Spirit of God. You have an immortal soul, a soul that will live forever throughout the countless ages of eternity. And although your body will die and be put into Mother Earth, your soul will live on. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ who said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" If it were possible for you to gain the whole world, all the wealth and all the riches and all the popularity of this world, it would be worth nothing compared to your soul. Your soul, my friend, is the most valuable thing that you have. And your soul needs to be saved. And it needs to be prepared for death and for eternity. And thank God this evening, through this text of Scripture, we're going to see how your soul can be prepared for death and for eternity. Look at the text. Isaiah 1 verse 18. "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Let's have a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for your presence with us again this evening. And O God, we thank thee for each head bowed in your presence tonight. And O God, we do pray that you'll come and speak to hearts just now. We think of those especially, Lord, who are not saved. O God, we pray tonight that you would reveal unto them their great need of God's salvation. We thank the Lord that you're still in this soul-saving business. We thank the Lord that we're still in the day of grace, in the day of mercy. And O God, we thank thee that the Lord Jesus is willing, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And O God, we pray tonight that as men and women once again consider the truth of the gospel, consider what the Bible teaches, we pray, Lord, that you would in love and mercy draw men and women to the foot of the cross. We thank thee for the cross tonight. We praise thee for the place called Calvary, where my Redeemer died. His blood, it fills the fountain. 'Tis full, 'tis deep, 'tis wide. We thank thee, Lord, that the vilest offender who truly believes that moment to Jesus, a cleansing will receive. And O God, we pray you'll touch hearts this evening. And we pray, Lord, that you'll show men and women their great need of salvation. Show them the awful blackness of sin and the awful consequences of sin. O God, how sad it would be for someone to go from this meeting, this mission, out into a lost eternity. We pray that that will not happen. But, O God, we pray that men and women will be wise and that they will seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Fill me now with thy Holy Spirit. O God, I pray that you'll hide this preacher far behind the cross and that none would be seen save Jesus only. We pray, Lord, that you might help us tonight. May we have again that word in season, Lord. Defeat the devil. O God, we're so conscious of the workings of hell. But we thank thee for the power that's in the blood of the Lamb. And we pray tonight that you would cover us now in the precious blood. And we pray, Lord, that you'll come and work on hearts. For us in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Tonight we all know what an invitation is. And I'm sure throughout your life you have received many invitations. Well, in this text of Scripture that we have before us this evening, we have an invitation. And it's an invitation to the sinner. Therefore, my friend, if you're not saved in this meeting tonight, this is an invitation to you. And I pray as we come to consider this invitation that we have here in Isaiah 1 verse 18, that the Lord will speak to your heart. You see, as you look at the text, and very simply this evening, I just want to break the text down. And I want you to notice four things about this invitation. I want you to notice the authority of the invitation. And I want you to notice the manner of the invitation. And I want you to observe the promise that is contained in the invitation. And I want you to consider the urgency of the invitation. And I want you to listen tonight. Oh, my friend, if you're not saved tonight, I pray that the Lord will open up your ears and open up your heart as we come to look at this wonderful text from God's Word. And I pray that the Lord, the Holy Ghost, will take the Word of God tonight and burn it within your heart. Now, what about this invitation? Look first of all at the authority of the invitation, because the text says this: "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." Now, I want to emphasize those words, "saith the Lord." You know, this is a wonderful invitation. And of course, the reason why it's a wonderful invitation is because this invitation is a divine invitation. It is an invitation that comes from the God of heaven. It's not an invitation from man. It's not an invitation from a government or from a denomination or from a church. It's not even an invitation tonight from this preacher. No, here we have the stamp of God's authority upon this invitation, because this invitation comes right from heaven to the sinner. You know, it's wonderful here when you consider this truth that is presented in this text of Scripture. Because when you consider that the invitation is coming from the Lord, that means that it's trustworthy. That means that it's dependable. That means that it comes with the stamp and authority of heaven upon it. My friend, if you're not saved tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to say something very tenderly to you this evening. God loves you. Now, He doesn't love your sin, as we're going to find out in a moment, but He loves you. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And you know, the wonderful truth is this, that throughout the Word of God, not only here in Isaiah 1 verse 18, but throughout the Word of God, the Lord gives the sinner an invitation many, many times. And we haven't got the time tonight to consider all the invitations that God gives to sinners throughout the Word of God. But let me just mention a couple of them. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ walked upon this scene of time in Matthew chapter 11, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There we have an invitation from the Son of God, the blessed second person in the Holy Trinity. And of course, when we turn to the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation, just before John closes his prophecy in Revelation 22, we read these words in verse 17. "And the bride," or the Spirit and the bride, "say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Again there, at the very close of the Scriptures, we have this divine invitation. Oh, I wonder As you sit under the sound of the gospel tonight, how many times have you heard the gospel? How many times have you sat under the invitation of the gospel? Indeed, we could go through the New Testament, and time after time, the Word of God emphasizes that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't care how far down the road of the sin you have traveled tonight. I don't care what your sin is. I don't care what your iniquity is. I don't care whether this is your first time in church or whether you come to church every week. Whether you walk down the clean side of the broad road or the dirty side of the broad road. Praise God, here is an invitation that God gives to every sinner. And thank God, that means that this invitation is extended to you tonight. And it's a divine invitation. It's an invitation that comes from the throne of God. Thus saith the Lord. Now, I want you to notice something else. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 1 again. And take a look at our text. And you'll notice the manner of the invitation. Because it says here at the beginning of verse 18, "Come, let us reason together." Now, I want you to underline those words. That word reason, it means to think logically. It means to analyze. Therefore, in this invitation, the Lord wants the sinner, when thinking about his sin and the consequences of his sin and the forgiveness of his sins, the Lord wants the sinner to think logically. God wants the sinner to analyze the truth correctly. "Let us reason together, saith the Lord." In other words, let us come together and consider logically what the truth of the gospel is. What is the truth of the gospel? Well, the truth of the gospel is this, that man is a sinner on his way to a Christless eternity. The truth of the gospel is that man cannot cleanse himself from sin. The truth of the gospel is that man's sin can only be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. The truth of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus Christ has died upon the cross and shed his precious blood for your sins and for my sins. And the only way whereby you and I can find forgiveness and cleansing from our sin is through the sacrifice of Calvary. Oh, thank God for the message of the cross. "Come with me, visit Calvary, where my Redeemer died. His blood it fills the fountain. 'Tis full, 'tis deep, 'tis wide. And thank God, upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow, the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life, a ransom for the many." And the reason why the Savior died was because you and I could never save ourselves. He died to save us from hell and from judgment to come. And as we think about the gospel and the consequences of sin, and as we think about the Lord Jesus laying down his life, a ransom for the many, the Lord wants us to think about those things logically. You know, any man sitting down and thinking about these things from the Word of God logically and reasonably and analyzing the truth correctly will come to only one conclusion, and that is that God's way is the only way of salvation. Therefore, the manner of this invitation is gracious. It's loving. It's merciful. Why, to think that a holy God would give ungodly sinners the opportunity to reason these things out is a merciful act indeed. You know, the truth is, if you and I got our due reward, we would be cast into hell for all eternity. There's not one of us here tonight that deserves the mercy and the love of God. There's not one of us here tonight that deserves God's wonderful salvation. But God in mercy has given us the Bible so that we may logically and analyze the truth correctly. And you know, the Bible is a wonderful book. And of course, it's a wonderful book because it's God's book. My friend, have you ever sat down and thought about these things reasonably and logically and analyzed them correctly? Have you ever sat down and thought about your sin and where your sin is taking you? Have you ever sat down and thought logically of how you can have your sins forgiven, how you're going to make peace with God? You know, the truth is that there are many today And they believe that they can make peace with God through their good works, by coming to church and doing the best that they can. But, my friend, the Bible does not teach us that. The Bible teaches that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us that if man is going to escape hell and end up in heaven, then man must come God's way and accept Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. And the Lord wants you to think about that. The Lord wants you to reason that out as you study the Word of God and as you listen to the preaching of God's Word. Let us reason together. My, here we have a merciful invitation, a gracious invitation to the sinner to think, to sit down and to think logically about sin and about the cross and about eternity and about how you, my friend, are going to get from earth to heaven. How are you going to get from earth to heaven? Well, the Bible tells us the only way whereby we can get from earth to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you need to sit down and think about these things. Oh, what a merciful invitation. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Now look at the text again. And you'll see here, you'll see not only the authority of the invitation, and not only the manner of the invitation, that it comes with mercy and grace, but you'll see here the promise that is contained in the invitation. Now, what does it say? It says this, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What does this promise teach us? It teaches us that God will forgive man his sin and pardon man for his transgression. Indeed, this promise teaches us that God will forgive and pardon the vilest of sinners. Men and women, let me declare this message from this pulpit this evening. The God of heaven is a God that can and will forgive the sins of the ungodly. And thank God tonight, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished upon the cross, because he shed his precious blood, because he cried it is finished, because of the work of redemption that was accomplished on the middle tree on Golgotha's brow, thank God you can have your sins forgiven tonight. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Listen to some words in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25, we read these tremendous words. Isaiah 43 and verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. I will not remember thy sins. Look at chapter 44 and verse 22. And you'll read these words. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. My, thank God, the Lord will blot out our transgressions when we come and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Thank God, the Bible tells us that there's cleansing from sin. Now, I know that the old devil, he'll whisper in your ear and he'll tell you that there's no way that you could find forgiveness. And there's no way that the Lord would forgive you for your sins. My friend, here we have the promise in the invitation. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But let me emphasize one thing here. God will only forgive sin on the grounds of the shed blood. This promise of pardon is an act of justice as well as an act of mercy. God will show mercy and pardon sinners, but only on account of Christ's finished work upon the cross, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We often sing that lovely hymn, What Can Wash Away My Sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, my friend, have you come by faith to the cross? Can you look back to that day in your life when you repented of your sin and by faith accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as your own and personal Savior? Are your sins forgiven tonight? Do you know pardon and peace with God? The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, thank God, as far as the child of God is concerned, our sins are all forgiven. Thank God, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. And what the Lord has done for so many in this gospel meeting tonight, thank God He can do for you as well. He can cleanse you. You may have come into this meeting in your sins on your way to a Christless eternity, but thank God you can leave this meeting tonight saved and redeemed with all your sins forgiven. And you need your sins forgiven. And it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that you can have your sins forgiven. And my friend, you can only find forgiveness of sins when you bow by faith at the foot of the cross. You know what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says that through this man, sinners can have their sins forgiven. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Thank God today. Thank God in this 21st century. Have you the peace of God that passeth all understanding? Very soon this meeting will be over and you'll be going home. And when you go to bed tonight, you'll be putting your head on the pillow. My friend, when you put your head on that pillow, and when you close your eyes, have you the peace of God of knowing that your sins are forgiven, and that if you were to die in the night, that it would be absent from the body and present with the Lord? You know, before I was saved, I think maybe I said this on Sunday night, but I was afraid of dying and going to hell, and I can remember going to bed at night and afraid of putting my head on the pillow because I knew my sins weren't forgiven. I knew I hadn't made peace with God. I knew that I wasn't a Christian. And I knew that if I died in the night, I'd be lost forever and forever and forever. And in those days, there were many, many nights I would go to bed and I wouldn't sleep. I wouldn't want to sleep because I knew that if I died in the night, I'd be lost forever. Is that you tonight? Well, my friend, you can come and find forgiveness tonight and you can make peace with God. And that day when I was saved on the 13th of September 1976 in that old tent on the Brownstown Road in Portadown, oh, what peace came into my heart when I turned to the Lord and when the Lord reached down and snatched me as a brand from the burning. My friend, would you not like that peace? Would you not like to know that your sins are forgiven? Would you not like to have the knowledge that you're going to heaven? Well, listen to me. Here's the invitation. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Because you see, the fact is this, that your sins at the moment are bringing you down into hell, down into a lost eternity. Because the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And of course, the death spoken of there is more than natural death. It's eternal death in hell forever. You know, we're living in this 21st century. And the truth is that many, indeed this world, they don't believe that there's a hell. And they don't believe in the judgment of God. And yet the Bible clearly teaches us that while there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. My friend, your sins are bringing you down into hell. Down into a lost eternity. That's why you need to have your sins forgiven. But listen, if you end up in a lost eternity, you can't blame God. Because here the Lord gives you the invitation. It's an invitation from the Lord. And it's an invitation that's gracious and merciful. Because He says, let us sit down and reason together. Let us think out this thing logically. And analyze it correctly, according to the Word of God. And the Lord therefore gives you the opportunity to do that. And He's giving you the opportunity to do that tonight again in this mission. What are you going to do? notice something else here. Notice the urgency of the invitation. You notice the little word at the beginning, come now. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. You know, getting one's sins forgiven is a pressing matter. Nowhere in the Bible does the Lord invite sinners to come to Him tomorrow. We were emphasizing this truth last night. We were considering Felix and how he put off the day of his salvation. How he said, go thy way, when I have a more convenient season I will call for thee. And Felix thought that he could just get saved whenever he wanted to get saved. My friend, you can't get saved whenever you want to get saved. You've got to get saved now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today, if ye hear His voice, harden not your heart. And again, this invitation emphasizes that salvation is only obtainable today. Now. God's invitation is always today. A wise man will confess his sins unto God today. A wise man will plead for God's forgiveness today. Turn over to Psalm 32 for a moment and listen to what the psalmist says here in verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 32. The psalmist says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Underline those words. It says, in a time when thou mayest be found. My friend, the day will come when you'll want to pray and you'll not be able to pray. The day will come when you will call and God will not answer. That's what Proverbs chapter 1 says. That's why if the Lord is speaking to you now and striving with you now and convicting you now of your sin and the need of having your sins forgiven, that's why you must come in a time when He might be found. And take a look at Psalm 69. And take a look at verse 13 and see what it says. We read these words, but as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. In an acceptable time, hear me. In an acceptable time, that's God's time. And God's time for you to get right with God is now. Not tomorrow night, not next week, not at some other stage. Listen, when do you propose to have your sins forgiven? When do you propose to get right with God? When do you propose to be saved? You come to church, you listen to God's word, you listen to God's servant, the Lord speaks to you. At what point in your life are you going to get saved? You say to me, preacher, tomorrow. No, you'll not get saved tomorrow, friend. Because tomorrow never comes. Oh, the invitation of the Lord is merciful and gracious. The invitation comes with a wonderful promise. The Lord will cleanse you from all your sin. He'll make you as white as the snow. He'll prepare you for heaven. He'll save you from hell. He'll give you the assurance of eternal life. But He'll only do it now. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Why is the invitation urgent? Because tomorrow might be too late. Death may come suddenly. Your circumstances may change. You know, over these past number of weeks in County Fermanagh, we have had at least 5 or 6 young people cut off out into God's eternity. Every day you turn on the news. Every other day you hear the ambulance going up the road at 70 miles an hour. There's another accident. Just where we live, in a 3-mile radius of where we live, 3 young people have been cut off out into God's eternity. My friend, death comes suddenly. Life and circumstances can change so quickly. You're here tonight in your full health and strength, and I pray that God will give you many more years of health and strength, but we just don't know. None of us know what tomorrow brings. But thank God, if you're saved and have your sins forgiven tomorrow, well, it doesn't really matter because tomorrow's in the hands of the Lord. Is your life in the hands of the Lord tonight? Oh, here's what the Lord says to you. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now. Would you come now? Would you trust Him now? Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we come before Thee tonight and we thank Thee, Lord. And we praise Thee for the mercy of the Lord to sinners. And O God, we thank Thee tonight that You have provided salvation for the whosoever will. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. O God, we thank Thee and we praise Thee that You've made it possible because of Christ's death upon the cross. You've made it possible for the vilest sinner to be saved. We thank Thee, Lord, for the invitation of the gospel and for this invitation that we have considered tonight. And O God, I pray this evening that men and women and young people will be wise and that they will seek the Lord while He may be found. And Lord, tonight that they will call upon Him while He is near. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, the meeting is almost over. I wonder, is there someone here tonight? My friend, you know that you're not right with God. And you know if you were to die right now, you would be in hell forever. And you want to be saved. Is there someone here in this meeting and you want to be saved tonight? Well, let me tell you, you can be saved tonight. That's the first thing. The Lord that has given you the invitation will save you. Is there someone? Is there someone here this evening and you know that you're not prepared for heaven, but you want your sins forgiven? I wonder, is there someone here tonight and you want to be saved? Would you do something for me now? In this meeting, would you just lift up your hand? Now, lifting up your hand will not save you. The night I was saved, I can remember lifting up my hand. Didn't save me. But I needed help. I needed someone to talk to. Maybe you need someone to talk to. We're here as God's servant. We're here to point you to Christ. Is there someone here in the meeting? Just lift up your hand now. And I'll acknowledge it and you can take it down again. And then we'll remember you in the closing prayer. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. The Lord wasn't ashamed of you. He died on the cross to save you. Just put your hand up now. That's right. Just do it now. Where you're sitting. Is there someone? My friend, maybe you couldn't get your hand up. Not an easy thing to put your hand up in a meeting. My friend, whether you put your hand up or not, let me say this to you. You need to get saved tonight. If we can be any help to you, we're here as God's servants. Come and speak to us. Or if someone has brought you to the meeting, speak to them. But don't leave the meeting tonight without the Savior. Seek the Lord while He may be found. And call upon Him while He is near. Father in heaven, we thank Thee. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy mercy to us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank Thee, Lord, that You shed Your precious blood for us to save us from death and from hell and from judgment to come. We thank Thee, Lord, that You've provided eternal salvation for all those who call upon Thee. O God, I pray that You'll defeat the devil and that even this night, that there will be those who will call upon the name of the Lord. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.